let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Tom Badgett, a professional writer for radio and television news, documentary films, and technical magazines, has completed his new book, The Courier and Other Tall Tales, an assortment of short stories that run the gamut of emotions and offer a somewhat magical window into a bygone era. Mystery, humor, happy stories, sad stories, the unusual, this little book of short stories covers it all. You'll meet a range of interesting and real-life people. One review calling the book one of the most epic short tales I've ever encountered. The Courier and Other Tall Tales will pique your interest, touch your memories, entertain, and surprise you. And author Tom Badgett joins us on This Week in America. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Hello. It's good to be with you.
Great to have you here. What a nice job you've done with this. And so many memories, you know, that I think of times with my father growing up, being outside playing with kids when kids went outside to play rather than just connecting online. So many emotions that come back as you're reading the book, The Courier and Other Tall Tales. I'll give you all the information where the book's available as we go through the conversation today. What was the inspiration? I mentioned your varied background. What was the inspiration for this particular book? Why did you decide to write The Courier and Other Tall Tales?
Well, I guess the inspiration has to go back, Rick, maybe 40 years. And I was a technical writer. I traveled a lot. And as I traveled writing technical stuff, which was part of my job, I also observed humanity around me. And I wrote snapshots, I called them. Sometimes it was a poem, sometimes it was half a page, sometimes it was a page, not very much, just a snapshot of something I saw, waiting at the airport or riding a bus downtown or a train. And those collected over the years. They were in my backlog of information. And then I guess about 30 years ago, I was working with my future business partner, David Everhart, with Stan Brock, who was famous for his work on Wild Kingdom, the television series. We were trying to raise money for a movie that Stan wanted to do, and that didn't work. But David and I kind of became friends, and he said, you know, I've got this novel that I've been wanting to write. Well, everybody I meet's got a novel, you know.
Yes.
You're a writer.
Yes.
I've got a novel. So we sat down, and I guess we worked several months and got as many as 10 chapters done, and then business got in the way. We founded a couple of companies, and just never got that book finished. Well, in 2021, I believe it was, we were working on another project, and he paused a minute and said, Tom, are we ever going to finish that novel? And I said, why don't we just do it? I mean, we're retired. We're not going to get any younger. So we started writing again on this particular novel. And as I worked on that, I remembered my snapshots. I remembered some of the stuff that I'd done in the past. And I thought, you know what? I'm now in the mode of writing something besides technical things. Maybe I ought to try writing something for myself. So many of these snapshots are embedded in these fictional stories that are now in this book. So that's kind of how it started. Probably more information than you wanted to know, but that's how I got there.
No, that's actually very fascinating. The book by Tom Badgett, and by the way, that's Badgett, The Courier and Other Tall Tales. You'll find it at Amazon, all of the usual places. We'll give you a list at the end of the program, and all this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk a little bit about the news and technical background you had as a writer for most of your careers. How did you make the transition from writing news, writing technical papers, technical articles in magazines, make that transition to writing fiction?
Well, I guess I sort of answered that with my snapshots. It was sort of a dual thing.
Well, yes.
As I went along. I majored in English when I was in college. I wrote a few little short fictional pieces then. I guess it was 83, 84 in that area. I took a fiction writer's school course from Writer's Digest. And as I remember, my instructor was not thrilled with my fictional writing. But there was one of the stories I submitted that I kind of liked. It's called Apples, and it's in the current book, almost unchanged from where I wrote it before. And I thought it was pretty good, so I included it. I guess fiction was really my ultimate destination from the beginning. I know one thing, by being a technical writer and a reporter, it helped me reach the core of fictional stories, I think.
You know, that's interesting. As you're talking about that, I think it's something so often missing in writers, the fact that you're able to sort of see something in people that most don't. They look at very quickly. They're in a crowded place. It sounds like you're a people watcher. You learn from the people, maybe coming up in your mind with a backstory for these people. And that obviously translated into fiction writing. You bring out these characters very well. Was that part of the background, the fact that you really like studying the human part of people, and that made you a better fiction writer?
I think so. And you know, searching for detail, searching for truth.
Yes.
As a technical writer, you have to be very precise. Your work's going to be checked and double checked by people who know more than you do. So as I wrote fiction, I think that attention to detail helped me develop the characters.
In the book, The Courier and Other Tall Tales, by our guest, Tom Badgett, you've got 10 very different stories. Is there a common thread that ties these together?
Ooh, a thread. Probably. Probably a thread. There's not necessarily a common theme, but it's all about people. These are all people stories. The narrator in the first story, Lenny and Sarah, when he ends his tale, he says, "So what's the takeaway?" I like to have a takeaway of any interesting event, he says. And I think most of these stories have a takeaway. People who learn something about themselves, people who change their ideas about something, they meet somebody that changes them as a person. So yeah, it's a people story about change. And I think that's what good storytelling is all about, really.
So is there some truth or real life experience in these stories? As I'm reading through these and reading the reviews, it seems like there is. That's what makes these stories in The Courier and Other Tall Tales so relatable.
Yeah, I think it does. Shall I say it? Snapshots?
It goes back to that. Yes.
Most of these stories have a snapshot, a small little piece embedded in them. So that's one of the common threads. The other common thread the way they're developed in terms of truth is that a lot of these are people I knew in the past. Not precisely, no, but characteristics or the way they speak or the ideas they have. The stories are fictional, but the core, maybe a middle part of the story, is a snapshot. And some of the characters are based on people I've met or known. It's interesting, friends and family who read this book are having a real game of trying to say, oh, there's the snapshot. There's the truth. There's the one. Sometimes they get it. Sometimes they don't. It's kind of fun.
With us on the program, Tom Badgett, B-A-D-G-E-T-T. If you're Googling, the book is The Courier and Other Tall Tales. This is a delightful read. You will sit down. It'll be difficult to put the book down once you get started, and a book that you can have in the library, go back from time to time, and sort of smile as you're remembering all of these different times in your life that Tom is sharing in his book. You said you wrote the book while working with your business partner on another book. What's that about?
That's a very different book. It's called The Legend of the Jerawak. The premise is there's a young engineer who's working in the Amazon jungle, and he discovers a little known, actually a secret, a village of some kind, who can trace their heritage back to the Ice Age, where in the Ice Age, they fought and captured and was able to control a beast that was designed by nature to control the growth of mankind. That's called the Jerawak. They now maintain that beast, even though it's now the 20th century. And all kinds of interesting history and events that are current go on in that book, The Jerawak.
Now, where did that idea come from?
I don't know. You know, my partner is a very imaginative person. He came up with that, like I say, about 30 years ago. And it just kind of has evolved over the years.
What's it like writing that? Because you're going back in history. So, again, you've got this the sense that, okay, I need to be as accurate as I can be because people who study history will be reading this. What's that like when you have that obligation to reflect accurately as well as you can on something that you're taking from history?
It's actually fun, Rick, because it forces you to do the research. And David and I have had many discussions. We read this thing and do you think that's the way it really happened? Do you think it's possible that could have? So then we go back and study the history and see how close we can come. Obviously, most of what we know from 10,000 years ago, we just have to guess, I suppose, though people who study those things claim to know a lot about it. It was interesting writing about that era because at that time, if we understand history correctly, there were walls of glacier like 200, 300 feet tall covering a lot of the U.S. And this is a story that happens in the U.S. from people who migrated across the ice bridge into this continent. So, yeah, it was a challenge, but it's also fun.
When will that book be out, do you think?
It's in final stages at the printer now. We've just submitted the final cover design. So quick, I'd say within a few weeks.
Oh, very soon. And Tom Badgett, the name, you can Google that and get information. And we'll give you that information as we go as well. You mentioned retirement, and I'm looking at all the projects you have going. Not that you have completed over the course of your lifetime, but you are working on now. What other books do you have planned in your retirement?
Well, that's interesting. We have that one that we just mentioned that's at the printer. We have a current project that's about ready to submit to the publisher. It's called Bomber Run. It's an interesting story about a group of professional pilots who somehow discover a little-known World War II bomber. They decide to restore it, which they do, and that's an interesting story. And then they use it to defend against foreign aggression into the U.S. Kind of an interesting concept.
Oh, yes.
We've been working on one called Baja for probably 20 years. At least we stay with the project, Rick.
You never stop one, do you? No, once it's still open.
No, we don't.
Several decades, but it's still open, still working on it.
Things come in a strange way. The Bomber Run came to me in a dream. I dream a lot, but frequently I don't remember much about the dream. And the morning I woke up after dreaming about the Bomber Run, all I could remember was two guys in the bomb bay of an old airplane. And one of them says, "You only brought one effing bomb?" And so I said, that's all I could. So I sat down to try to write that, and a movie script came out. So the Bomber Run started as a movie script. And then we decided after a lot of study that the movie business, even though there's dozens of people making them now for consumption, I think the movie business is the way it was years ago when I wanted to get in. If you haven't sold a script, you can't sell a script. So we decided to convert Bomber Run to a novel. The same thing happened with Baja. We finished the movie script and decided, nah, let's just write the novel. That's an interesting story. It has to do with when Volkswagen decided to end production of the Baja Beetle. A couple of guys in California who are in the car business decide, you know, wouldn't it be neat if we had the last of that run, the last, I don't know, maybe the last 100 cars out of the Baja Beetle run. So they go to Mexico and make arrangements to buy the last 100, but they don't have any money for shipment. They don't want to pay taxes, so they hire 100 locals to drive these Volkswagens across the desert back to California. What do you think can go wrong in a deal like that?
Yeah, I think they thought it out very nicely.
Yeah. Let's see. The other project that's almost finished is Icon 1000. That's a science fiction piece that has to do with people in another galaxy who have to defend their homeland and their very unique transportation and weapons technology against invaders. That one's, it's a short book, but it's almost ready to go to the publisher.
Let's see,
what else do we have? Yeah. We have one called The Grass Connection. We have a movie treatment on that. Again, we got interested in movies, but we're going to novels. I think that's going to be a novel. That's kind of a humorous look at the marijuana smuggling trade, if it can be funny.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be funny, and I'm looking forward to that as well. And you've got The Quiet Men, I understand, is one you're working on. I see that in the list.
The Quiet Men?
Yes.
That's based on true stories from some of David's family about Indians who migrated from the West into Florida. It'll be fiction, but a lot of it is based on what he has learned through family lore.
Another book you're working on is Jazz. That, I understand, is a working title. What's the background in that?
That's another one of my snapshots that I wrote years ago.
Ah.
And I'm turning that into a murder mystery. It was a murder mystery to start. I wrote like one chapter. Now, that was interesting. I was working with a bunch of technical people, and my boss at the time came to me one day and said, "Are you ever tired of writing all this technical stuff?" I said, "Yeah, sometimes." He said, "Here's a challenge. Write me something that has jazz in it." And then I gave him an assignment. and he gave me an assignment. We went back and forth. You just pick a word, and you have to write some kind of paper with that word in it. So that kind of got us both into doing something besides the technical writing. So that went away for years. And then during this process, it came back as another possibility.
Well, a lot of books that Tom and partner working on, the one that's completed we're talking about specifically is The Courier and Other Tall Tales. Book available, Amazon, all of the usual places. We'll give you a list as we go through the conversation today. And, of course, you can link on to Tom's Amazon page by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Get information on these other books as they're published and made available. All these others, it sounds like some might be short stories, some may be something else. Talk about that. It sounds like you've got a pretty good collection of different genres that you're writing.
Yeah, we do. I'd like to mention one other book that we published in October last. Again, my friend Stan Brock had a manuscript that he worked on in the 80s, I guess. And he was very ill a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and he asked me if I would take that manuscript and try to publish it. And unfortunately, it took till after Stan's death, but it came out. It's called Seed of the Assegai. And it is a novel that has to do with Shaka Zulu's grandson coming back and trying to be Shaka Zulu again around the 1980s. It's out again with Page Publishing as well. So yeah, the other things, say again what you asked, Rick.
Well, yeah, it's some sound like they're following that short story category, and others, different types of literature. A Renaissance man here. You've got all of these different things going and doing them so well. So it's not all short stories, is it?
No, it's not. I love the short story venue. It's quick. It's easy. It goes in and out fast. But I think most of the stories we're developing now will be full length novels. They need to be to tell the whole story. It's interesting that, again, going back to friends and family who've read the Courier book, the most common, after they say what's the snapshot, what's real, I want to know that. The second thing is they're too short. I don't want the stories to end. And I thought that was a great compliment. Most people say that any of those stories could have gone on to be a novel. I'm not sure that's true, but so yeah, we're working on novels. There is one side trip. We're working on some children's stories, things we used to tell our kids when they were young. We decided why not write them down? And we have an artist friend who's part of the family. We might someday do either a short story children's book or a series of short children's books with art. I'm not sure.
You've got so many things going. If you throw a cookbook in there, you've got all your bases covered, don't you? You've got just about everything there. And what's interesting in hearing you describe, it seems like every book is a little bit different. It's different stories. So there really is a variety in your writing, isn't there?
There is. We kind of worry about that sometimes, because if you look at the bestseller list, it's people who, if you buy their book, you know what you're going to read. And that's not true with us. I think it's because we both had such a varied background. We've lived many different lives. We've had different careers. We've had different families. There's too much going on up here to be confined by a single theme, I think.
With us on the program, Tom Badgett. He's the author of The Courier and Other Tall Tales. Book at Amazon, all of the usual places, and a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You're talking about writing books with your partner. This book, you wrote your names on it. How do you go about writing it with your partner? Whose name is going to be on the book, or will both appear?
We worried about that. I wrote The Courier sort of as a sideline when we were working on the Jerawak book, and I put it out. We hadn't really talked about how we were going to do this. I assumed, because the Jerawak was his story, that he'd put his name on it. But we got to thinking about writing is more than writing. You've got to do marketing. So we thought we needed an entity that would serve for all of our stories, most of which we do collaborate on. I guess we're vain enough to want our names out there. So the first thing we came up with was David Thomas. I got it, David Thomas.
Yes.
Turns out there's a couple of authors named David Thomas already out there. So then we thought, well, we're dealing with prehistoric stuff, the Stone Age, the Ice Age. How about Stone? So David Thomas Stone, or David Stone, I guess, is our pseudonym.
I like both of those. So write those down and check out those books when they're out there. And some, it sounds like, will be coming out here shortly. Are there any books that you've written in that lineup that you've talked about that will have sequels, that maybe will have multiple books published?
The Jerawak, certainly.
Okay.
it's going to be over 300 pages now, and the story's only half told. So we're already working on book two of the Jerriwock, certainly. The other stories, I don't think so right now, except you're going to see Eric Fuchs again. Eric Fuchs is the title character from the title story, The Courier. We sort of give a hint at that at the end. He's going to appear in the murder mystery Jazz in some way.
The books are available, I mentioned, at Amazon. Where are some of the other places? Because literally wherever books are sold, you can get a copy of Tom's book.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. We're lucky to have a publisher that has good relationships with Ingram, the international book distributor. So any of their customers, like Barnes & Noble and other major book sources, should have the book available.
I mentioned this is the book, The Courier and Other Tales, is an assortment of short stories. I want to talk about that. What goes in the thought process of putting an assortment together? People will do an assortment. They will do a collection. As you put them together, Rob, what is your thinking, what you will put in that assortment and maybe the order they appear in? Maybe I'm overthinking it, but what goes into the process of putting an assortment together?
It is sort of a process of writing the stories first. I didn't even think about doing a book when I decided to expand some of my snapshots and short things. And then as they grew and grew in number, I thought, well, I can put those together. And literally I sat down with the titles or the title page of each of the stories and shuffled them. I just moved them around on the table and thought, what kind of order? So there's not much of a reason for the order. It's just something I liked and something I thought might work. I like the storyteller in the first story. It's first person. He's kind of an old guy. He's telling the personal experience. I thought that would probably be good to get anybody's attention. I buried the title story because I didn't want people to read that and quit.
Oh, exactly.
So that was my thinking.
Read The Courier book ending.
Right.
And there's so much more
That
in
was
there.
The reason for putting it inside somewhere.
Good thinking.
There's one very short story that I thought should be at the end, so that went to the end. It just sort of evolved like that.
The stories are varied. It really is an assortment. You've got mystery, humor, happy stories, sad stories, unusual stories. It will tap into all of your emotions, The Courier and Other Tall Tales. A minute or so left in the program. I'm fascinated by your background. Of course, radio and television, interesting, and how you got started. But doing the computer, the technical, you owned one of the first computer stores in the country, co-founder of an internet service provider. Go back to those days. I mean, computer stores at that time, they were about the size of a refrigerator. Can you believe when you look back at what you went through in setting up a first store, trying to explain to people, yes, this is a computer and you can have one in your home. What was that like in the early days of computer?
It was fascinating. I had a partner who was very technical, more so than I. We started with a single board computer from a company called Ohio Scientific. Our research showed us there were 10 computer stores in the nation, stores for the personal computer
yes.
line. Some were selling Apple, some were selling Hewlett Packard. We had Ohio Scientific. We were number 10 in the country. Before it was over, before that run quit and IBM came out with their PC, which put most of us out of business, we were competing directly with IBM with their System 5000, which was a mini computer.
Wow.
Our thing was 10 times cheaper and we could compete with them in the marketplace. So it was an extremely exciting time to be in that market.
Did you ever think that decades later, people literally would be wearing a computer on their wrist? I mean, to think how far we've come. And for younger people, they just take it for granted that, you know, we were all born with computers and the little tiny ones. But boy, to see all of that, did you ever think someday computers would be affordable and something that most of us will have maybe three or four in our homes or more?
I don't think we ever thought about that. We did think about some technology that has proven to be correct. We created a system, for example, that used old-fashioned television cameras to measure lumber as it came into a furniture manufacturer. It would measure it, throw away lumber that had too many knots in it, and then transmit that data to a mini computer. So using cameras for that kind of thing was almost unheard of back then. The other thing we experimented with, believe it or not, was self-driving cars. We felt like that was the future and that we could develop that. That is, if we had a few million dollars, which we did.
What an amazing career. As you look back on that, and it's still going on with all of the writing, do you ever stop just to sort of think back all the different aspects of life that we take for granted? You were there sort of at the beginning on many of these. That has to look back and be very satisfied with where you've come from, but not satisfied with that enough that you're going to fully retire. You keep working on more product for us, in these cases, the books that we've talked about.
Yeah, it is interesting to look back. Especially as I interface with young people, to people in their 20s, I'm very old. I am very old. I'm almost 80 years old. That's old. There's a gap between their current environment and their imagination of what it might have been like for me. And I guess one thing that's interesting to me, with few exceptions, the kids today aren't too interested in the stuff you just talked about. They don't ask about it. If I talk about it, it's sort of, oh, that's great. You know? So
yes.
I'm proud to have been there because I think I was part of the foundational community. The internet business, for example, there were not very many internet companies when we founded that company. We founded a company in 2000 that provided heat and air conditioning and telephone service, movies, and all that to truckers when they parked their truck overnight. That was unheard of. That went away pretty quickly as the internet came along, cell phones came along. But again, pioneering things. It was fun. It really was.
Well, you talk about the foundation. You were there in the computer store. I mean, the internet. Is that like where you had to unplug the telephone and then plug it into the computer and wait for the dial tone? So sometimes you would wait minutes and you'd be all excited when you think you've actually connected into the internet. It wasn't instantaneous at that time, was it?
Not at all. In 1989, my family and I took a 6-week vacation driving across the country, went all the way out to the west and back again. I was writing 2 books at that time on deadline. I would get up in the morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock and write for 2 or 3 hours. And then the first place we stopped that had a telephone, I could plug my modem, which was one of those that you stick your phone into,
oh, yes,
and upload the latest documents to my editor. And then we'd have our vacation. I'd work at night after they went to sleep. Next morning, get up and write another chapter. First time we got a phone, I'd go there, plug it in, send it up.
Great times. This has been so much fun having Tom on the program. You mentioned 80. You're almost 80. You're a very young sounding 80. The video you'll see if you go to YouTube and go to our website and click on videos, a very young looking 80. Is that because your mind is active? You are involved in all of these projects. For people think I'm going to retire and fish all the time. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but does that help keep you young to keep the mind active and have all these projects going on while you're working with a smile on your face?
I'm sure it does. It's making your mind recreate the things that you've done in the past and keep
yes.
it active. I also stay very physically active. I live on about 65 acres. A lot of it's woods. I mow about 25 acres here. I walk every day. I think exercise mentally and physically are very important.
Well, a perfect example of how it works. And it's just, it's been so much fun having Tom on the program to talk about this book, The Courier and Other Tall Tales, Tom Badgett, B-A-D-G-E-T-T. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. I went through that list, and we'll have the list on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you can link on to Tom's Amazon page there and follow other books that he's in the process of writing alone and with his partner. Tom, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and going down memory lane. I was anxious to hear some of those stories and not disappointed all that you've been through and been a part of. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tom Badgett, our guest. The book is The Courier and Other Tall Tales. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.